We are moving along in Romans chapter 4, and if you will read from me, with me from the bulletin, we'll be picking up in verse 16 of Romans 4 and reading through verse 25. Hear the word of the Lord. That is why it depends on faith, in order that the promise may rest on grace and be guaranteed to all his offspring, not only to the adherent of the law, but also to the one who shares the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I've made you the father of many nations. In the presence of the God whom he believed, who gives life to the dead and calls into existence things that do not exist. In hope, he believed against hope that he should become the father of many nations, as he had been told, so shall your offspring be. And he did not weaken in faith when he looked at his own body, which was as good as dead since he was almost 100 years old. Or when he considered the barrenness of Sarah's womb, no unbelief made him waver concerning the promise of God. But he grew strong in his faith as he gave glory to God, fully convinced that God was able to do what he had promised. That is why his faith was counted to him as righteousness. But the words, it was counted to him, were not written for his sake alone, but for ours also. It will be counted to us who believe in him who raised from the dead Jesus our Lord, who was delivered up for our trespasses and raised for our justification. Thus far the reading of God's word. Last week we studied and in some way kind of summarized what we had been studying for the 8 weeks previous, how we receive all the good things that Jesus has done for us, all of the things that God has done for us to put away our sin and to cleanse us from sin and to forgive us for sin and to make us alive. We receive all of that by faith. And as a result of that faith, we are counted righteous. God looks at us, and in our account, he sees the righteousness of Christ. And that is how we are made alive. That's your birthday. And we kind of punctuated that by baptizing one of our new members. And we saw that, you know, that day was her birthday. But the question for us, as always, is, but what about Monday? How do we then go on living by faith? And we see this story, we see that issue illustrated in the life of Abraham. For we know in Genesis, God comes to Abraham and promises him a son, promises to make him the father of many nations. And Abraham believed God, and God counted that faith as righteousness. But Abraham had to wait many years, decades, before he would see the son that God had promised. How do we live? How do you live during that period? Well, you live the way Mary Ingalls lived. Sorry, I didn't have a good transition to get into my introduction. To explain what living by faith means, living by faith is trusting a person. It is trusting the person of Jesus. It is trusting the person of God the Father over your own abilities, feelings, thoughts, and desires. Trusting him to be and to do what he says he is going to be and do. Trusting what he says about life and acting on that. As an example, if you've read the first stories or watched the pilot episodes of Little House on the Prairie, then you know that one of the first kind of adventures they get into after they've moved down the prairie and they've built their house, Pa goes off hunting and Pa leaves the dog. They have this enormous guard dog, hunting dog, Jack. And Pa leaves Jack behind because Jack will scare away all the game and Pa won't be able to shoot it. And he gives strict orders, do not untie him. Well, while Pa's gone, these Indians come to visit. And Laura, the child, the daughter, they're all daughters, is terrified of Indians. And the Indians go into the house with Mom and Carrie. And she is terrified. And Jack is pulling at the rope and he's barking. And Laura knows if she unties Jack, Jack will run those Indians off. And she's believed all the stories and she's scared. Mary is scared too. But Mary knows that Pa said don't untie him. And Mary knows something else. Mary knows that her dad is the only one who knows how to live on the prairie. He can make a life out here. He can survive out here. We can't. Therefore, it makes sense to trust him, not to trust our own instincts. And so she doesn't let Laura untie the dog. When Pa comes home, he explains, nothing happened, of course. The story doesn't end in the first episode. And Pa explains eventually, if you had untied Jack, those Indians would have defended themselves. And if they had defended themselves, they would have hurt us or run us away, even though they meant no harm. You have to trust me. Now, I want you to think about that. I think that's a good illustration of what it means to live by faith. Because our inclination is to think that faith means taking a leap from reason, you know. Faith is jumping off a mountain, trusting God to catch you. It is not. Okay? God doesn't give you a promise to catch you if you jump. Faith is using your reason to realize your own weakness and God's strength. And therefore, using your reason to understand, to believe that he knows more than I do. And therefore, it is reasonable to trust him. You see, both of these little girls were using their reason, right? But Laura was listening to her fear. And she was trusting herself. And Mary was listening to her reason. Dad knows best. Dad knows how to survive out here. Dad knows what we should do. And since she listened to her reason, she trusted her dad. The seedbed of faith comes from this simple belief. God exists. It's simple. That doesn't make it easy, right? There's a big difference. It's simple to lose weight. It's not easy, right? You eat less. That's how you do it. Magic. You know, it's hard, but it's simple. It's difficult, but it's hard, but not whatever. This is where faith begins. God exists. He is able to do what he says he will do. He can raise the dead. He can bring things into being out of nothing. He is aware of you, and he sees you, and he loves you so much that he gave his only son for you. And he knows how this world is going to work. He created it. That is faith. Believing those four things, and as a result of those four things, I will listen to him. I exist, so I got that in common with God. I cannot raise the dead or call things into being out of nothing. I don't know how this world works. I'm wrong all the time. It makes sense for me to trust somebody who is more powerful, more loving, and infinitely wiser than I am. That is living by faith. It is trusting this person that whatever he does is good, and he does it because he loves me. Faith is not magic. Faith is not magic. It's trusting a person. It's not believing that if my faith is strong enough, then I can make things happen. That's what most of the false teaching on faith takes our mind and our attention completely away from God and focuses on ourselves and says, if you say the incantation right, if you believe with all your heart, then you will get what you want. That's not true. It doesn't work that way. Faith is not believing that you'll get what you want if you believe enough. If you believe purely enough or strong enough. Faith does not mean the good thing I want will eventually come. It doesn't mean that the thing that's coming is actually going to be better than the thing that I originally wanted. I used to, when we were buying our first house years and years ago, Bianca and I went out and made offers on 5 houses, and all of them fell through. And at that point, we began to, begin to think, well, maybe God, what is God doing in this? Is he telling us not to buy a house? Is he telling us you're not going to be living in this city very long? Don't buy it. What's going on behind the scenes that we don't get? And these sweet ladies who I love dearly kept coming up to us in church saying, don't you worry, honey, God's got a better house for you. And I just smiled and took it, because that's what you do to sweet ladies. But they were wrong. They did not know that. That's not written in the Bible. It might very well have been that God had a house for me that was going to cause me to go into bankruptcy, because he loved me. And he doesn't want me to love money. Faith is not believing that you're eventually going to get what you want. If that is what faith means, that assumes that you know best. And you don't. You don't know the whole story. You don't know you can't possibly know all the results of getting what you want all the time. The best illustration of that was Bruce Almighty. I love that. See, Bruce Almighty, when Jim Carrey gets to be God, I mean, it's stupid, but, it's a metaphor, right? And so he just, instead of like reading through everybody's prayers, he just answers yes to all. And so everybody won the lottery, and it was only $20 by the time it was divided up. And then Morgan Freeman, and of course, everybody gets what they want, and therefore everything's a wreck. And Morgan Freeman, who's the real God, as we all know, comes in at the end and he says, since when does anybody know what they truly want? Faith is trusting a person. Faith is not this some kind of magical incantation that's going to get me what I want. Faith is trusting the person and realizing that God is going to give me what I would have asked for if I had known what he knows. If I knew what he knew. When I was in college, I prayed and begged the Lord for this girl. She was perfect for me in every way. I haven't seen her in 25 years. That was not who God wanted for me. And I rejoice in that. Not at the time, right? At the time, I was really sad. She asked my best friend out for her sorority party. So mad at him and her and God and I would be mad at you too if I'd known you. God said no because he loved me. God says, whatever he says, faith is believing that whatever God gives us, he gives us because he loves us. If he gives us a lot of money, it's because he loves us and he wants to bless the world through it. If he gives us poverty, it's because he loves us and he wants us to see that he is better. Whatever he gives us, if he gives us health, it's because he loves us and he wants us to go out and use our health for him, his glory, and for the good of the world. And if he gives us sickness, it's because he wants to draw us near to him. Whatever it is that he gives us comes through his scarred, pierced hands. Faith is trusting this person. That's what Abraham did. Look again at verses 20 through 21. Faith is trusting this person. No unbelief made him waver concerning the promise of God, but he grew strong in his faith as he gave glory to God, that God was able to do what he had promised. He is with me, and since he is with me, I have more than I could have ever hoped or imagined. Whatever he does for me is right and best. Faith is trusting him, whatever he sends. That is true in the good times, and it is true in the hard. It's true in the hard times. I mean, because sometimes, you know this, right? Sometimes life just stinks. It's really dark, and you're sad. And in a real deep place in your heart, the place that you won't let anybody hardly ever see, you cry out to God and you say, why are you doing this? That's a cry of faith. God, you're here. You led me here. You're doing this. Why? And faith is trusting him even there. We see examples of that. I've told you before, when I was a young father, I just did tons of brilliant things. And one of the brilliant things I did was I thought I would save myself a trip by taking two of my children to get immunized on the same trip, which meant I was holding one child while the other was watching these shots being administered. And so I can't paint this picture as bad as it really was. I had a child in the corner screaming, curled up in a ball. Don't let them do that to me. I went and I grabbed him, and he looks at me, Daddy, don't let her do that. And I said, Son, you've got to trust me. I mean, what's going on from his perspective? A stranger that he's never seen before is coming at him to impale him and shoot stuff into him. And if he knew a little bit more, he would know that that stuff is potentially deadly viruses and things. I don't know. We got doctors in the room. Ask them what's in there. He can't, my 3-year-old boy can't possibly understand that. I don't expect him to. I expect him to trust me. Son, if you knew what I knew, if you knew what I knew, you would know that you have to have this. And that's what God does with us. Why did he take me into funeral homes twice in the last 4 years? Why have I had to bury two of my siblings in the last 4 years? I don't know. But when I know what God knows, I will know that it was the right thing to do. If I knew what he knew, I would know that that job was bad and it's good. He loves me, so I didn't get it. If I knew what he knew, I would know that it's good that I run the 40-yard dash in 6 seconds and I've never made a single athletic team in my life. If I knew what he knew, I would thank him for the broken hearts, even though I don't understand them today. That's faith. Trusting him. What does that look like in your life? What does that look like in your life? First of all, it looks like patience. Most of us are okay with faith. Most of y'all are okay with this definition that I just gave you, provided we get the answer pretty quick. Right? I understand why I got fired, God, as long as I get another job in about 6 weeks. If we get the answer pretty quickly, we're okay with that. The problem is in the Bible, it doesn't work that way. And since we don't like the way the Bible actually works, we kind of edit it. And the way we edit it is we take things out. For instance, the great, wonderful, beautiful stories of Daniel in the lion's den, right? Okay, it's time for us to look at that story as adults. A, the kid gets kidnapped, taken away from his home and city and family to go live in a foreign nation as a child. That's not a beautiful story. His friends get thrown in a fiery pit. They make it. That's kind of cool. And then, right, and typically we learn all this in vacation Bible school, right? So it's like bang, bang, bang. Monday, you know, Daniel refuses to eat the food. Tuesday, his friends get thrown in the pit. Wednesday, he gets thrown in the lion's den. Okay, I want you to understand something. Daniel was taken away from his home and family, and his life was ruined when he was a teenager. He was thrown into the lion's den when he was about 90 years old. By my calculations, that's about 80 years of praying every day, Lord, why have you done this? Why won't you bring us back to Israel? Why won't you take me home to Jerusalem? Why? And he gets his vision then. Then God reveals to him what he is going to do. It's only going to be a few more hundred years, Daniel. Hang in there. That's how God works. Sometimes it takes a long, long time. Christian history is littered with Christians who spend their whole lives to see a few people converted, and then those few people go out and reach entire nations. Christian history is littered with people who struggle their whole lives, and their great-grandchildren do great things that they never see. You have to be patient. Faith looks like patience. Faith looks like trusting a person and waiting there maybe forever. Faith means that we're patiently claiming the promise that we get throughout life. Look at this, verses 23 through 25 with me. But the words it was counted to him were not written for his sake alone, but for ours also. It will be counted to us who believe in him, who raised from the dead Jesus our Lord, who was delivered up for our trespasses and raised for our justification. Faith means trusting a person to do, ultimately, to do what he has promised to do. What do I mean by that? Okay. I want you to follow me here. Abraham did eventually get the child that he wanted. Okay? And so there's temptation to say, well, Abraham got the child that he wanted, and so therefore, I will get whatever I want if I believe enough. Abraham was told by God in person that he was going to get the child. Okay? So unless you've had that experience, which you haven't, you cannot claim that. Why do I know that? Because, you see, there's a whole set of promises that God made that all led to the sending of his son. And newsflash, Jesus has come. Okay? And so the work of redemption has been done. If God doesn't send Isaac, Jesus never gets here and saves us. Jesus has been here. Okay? So no promise that you think you've received is like the redemption of the world isn't dependent on anything that happens to you. You don't have those specific promises. Now, you have great promises, and faith for you means finding those promises and trusting God to do them. What does that mean? I have like 8 here, and I have 4 minutes. So some of you are going to get missed. But I'm going to choose 3 for people that I don't usually talk to, and then you married folks and other people are just going to deal with it later. Okay. First, claim the promise that you get. Claim the promise that you get. Do not be, Galatians 6, 7, and 8. What's the first promise I want you to claim? That Jesus did not die for you to leave you the sinner that you are. Jesus did not die for you to leave you the sinner that you are. This promise doesn't start out well, but hang in there. Wait till the end. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever one sows, that will he also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. What's the promise there? The promise there is that sin will always have its consequences. And even though you might cry out to God to take you away from those consequences, he may not do it. But what he will do is he will take you away from the sin. He is more interested in you reaping eternal life than he is interested in you getting the easy life that you wanted back. If God simply took away the consequences, then you would never change. And you would not reap eternal life. Specifics. I can talk about some of my kids. I only have one of them here today. So it's almost the end of the semester, and Union Schools has this great tool where I can get online every day and see what my kids' averages are. And one of their averages was well below acceptability for Ricky's children. Sorry, there's just a line somewhere, okay? We have grace in our house up to a certain point. And so I had to walk into him, and I had to say this week, son, if the semester ends and you have that grade, you will not touch the PlayStation or any computer all summer, and it's going to be a bad summer. I just wanted you to know. Conversation's over. That's not a new rule. That had always been the rule, but you need to know that you're way over the line right now. What was that mean? What was I saying? What did you think was going to happen? What did you think was going to happen? You know your laziness brings consequences. You know your drunkenness brings consequences. You know your immorality brings consequences. You know that. What did you think was going to happen? What you sow, you will reap. Did you think God was going to step in somehow and magically make it go away? No. Why is he not going to do that? Because he's not interested in laziness destroying your life. He's not interested in laziness or sin destroying your life. So he's going to force you to deal with the consequences of your sin today so you'll repent and turn away from it. God loves you so much that he gives you report cards. Isn't that great? But if you sow to the Spirit, you reap eternal life. I promise you, and this is my promise because I've done it, if you go to bed enough nights wetting your pillow in tears and crying out to God not to leave you the sinner that you are today, he will eventually change you. Now, some of you who know me go, well, Ricky, he ain't doing too much, but I promise I used to be worse. And I've got people who can testify to it. That's why I move so often. First promise that you can claim is that Jesus did not die for you to leave you the sinner that you are. Second promise that you can claim, this is going to be my last one. I'm just going to pick one at random here of the eight I have left. Just something completely different. I don't know. Singles. For singles. What's the promise that God gives you if you're not married and you thought you would be by now? If there's nobody on the radar screen and you thought there would be by now, what does God have for you? Paul says in 1 Corinthians 7, I wish that all were as I myself am. He was single. He's speaking about marriage there. I wish everyone was like me. But each one has his own gift from God, one of one kind and one of another. To the unmarried and to the widows, I say it is good for them to remain single as I am. You believe that? You see, the problem, the reason why some of us, our hearts are wrenched at the thought of that is not because we don't believe that God is real. The problem is we've just made romance into an idolatry. We don't think we could be happy without it. God says you can. God's changed the world through single people. One of them was named Jesus. He did a lot. You're not half of a human. God says you're blessed. Now, you might have to go out and find out what that blessing is. You might have to go out and say, okay, what can I do now that I'm single that I would not be able to do if I were married? You may have to change your entire perspective on life around. But the promise for you is that you're not half of a human. You're not half of God's image. Your promise is that you can trust God's timing. He has not gotten too busy to find you a spouse. It's not that he forgot to look at his day planner. Oh, no. And the promise for you is that you can use your singleness for His glory and for your happiness. You can use your singleness for His glory and your happiness. You can use wherever you are in life. I wish I had gotten into these more, because some of these were pretty creative. Oh, well. I'll post them online. Y'all can talk about them. Faith is not the belief that you will get what you want. Faith is the belief that you already have what you want. You have Jesus. You have the God who loves you so much that He gave His own Son for you. You have the God who loves you so much that He gave His own Son for you, who can raise the dead, who promises to raise you from the dead and to heal you of everything that is broken. Faith is trusting that He, that God, is enough. Please pray with me. Father, it's so hard for us because we honestly believe that if we were good enough Christians, You would give us all these benefits. And we don't believe that You are the benefit. Would You give us that kind of faith? Would You give us the faith to receive our parents as gifts and to trust them that they have our best intentions in mind? Would You give us the faith to discipline our children even when they punish us with their pouting? Would You give us the faith to believe that the things that You have forbidden us from having are... Father, I pray that You give us the faith to believe that sin leads to death and You're not trying to keep anything good from us. Give us the faith to receive our work and our jobs as blessings and to do them with all our might as unto the Lord and then leave them at work. Give us the faith to pursue our spouses and to love them passionately because they're gifts from You. Give us the faith to grieve with broken hearts, believing that You are close to the brokenhearted. And You are near to those who are bound down in spirit. Give us the faith to believe that You are with us as our health fails. Give us the faith to believe that Your love is strong even when our bodies grow weak. Give us the faith to believe that You are with us, Lord, in the valley of the shadow of death. Father, give us the faith to live trusting You. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.